7:30, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. John on vacation this week, enjoying his summer break. Max Reimer kind enough to sit in this morning for John.
Kind enough to have me.
There we go. The studio audience was a little delayed.
Got to sharpen that up for the award show, though.
And of course, Sam Sansevier in there pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855.
Good morning.
Pleased to welcome lawyer extraordinaire to the program.
Good to be here.
Jeff O'Brien. We're going to hand out representative extraordinaire awards a little later on in the program. Jeff, you, I believe, just the full committee of one.
Yes, this is my own personal profiles in courage.
Yeah. Oh, what was the catalyst for this?
Well, the catalyst is just, you know, I talk with Representative Shane Mecklen a lot. He's a longtime client of mine and a good friend, and he'll be here later. And it started out as a joke, and then we looped you into it. I think it happened about the time when the governor fled Ottertail County on his fishing opener and something. And we just started talking. It's like, we should give the so-and-so a hat. And it's like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's do it, because I have these lawyer extraordinaire hats that I made up just to, you know, kind of leaning into the gag of this alter ego that you guys have created for me.
Yeah, alter ego.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, Superman has his cape. I have the hats. And so we said, I started looking at, you know, any elected official here in Minnesota, like the representatives and senators, who did something extraordinary, something bold, you know, in the face of criticism, maybe outside the norm of their party. And that's what I was, you know, kind of made it. And it happens to be issues, I think, largely that are important to me and my clients. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you see all these interest groups that give out these awards, you know, friend of the taxpayer and friend of small business. This was just me saying, hey, you guys did good stuff.
I like what you did here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And
here's
some,
a hat.
In some instances, it could just be for like one thing they
it,
did.
It literally
right?
is. It like could
you
be.
You did this one thing over the course of the session, and now you are dubbed a representative.
It could be someone that I disagreed with on a lot of things,
right.
But they just did that one thing that was over the top epic.
So we're going to hear from some of these
we are.
Later in
yes.
the program.
This is
yes.
fabulous.
Right,
this
I like
thing
this.
Is really good.
I dig this. I think this is a good bit.
Or it could totally flop.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get, you know, when I emailed all of you know, those that won, they were very gracious. They said, this is fun, you know, and so, you know, Shane's helped because, you know, I don't have access to the, you know, to the, some parts of the Capitol. So he's actually the one that distributed the awards to people. So he kind of warmed them up a little bit too, so.
Well, before all that starts happening, I wanted to take advantage of having your legal expertise in studio with us. You are our in-house counsel.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about this last week, but not a ton. And I wanted to give you an opportunity and get your thoughts on the big voting rights decision that came down from the Supreme Court last week. I want to read this article that I found yesterday. And I want to get your thoughts on this version. The headline is, the Supreme Court's conservatives have laid the groundwork for the devastation to come.
Oh, yeah. You know it was a good decision if that's...
Oh, that. Yeah. I'm ready.
Just inject it into my veins.
Yeah.
And it starts to, you know, it starts off talking about how there's been a number of cases over the course of this particular Supreme Court session that, you know, kind of broke some ideological expectations, right? You mm-hmm. had strange bedfellows, you know, you had Kavanaugh breaking off and agreeing with the liberals in one instance, whereas you know, you had Gorsuch in another. It was really hard to pin this particular Supreme Court down, and you had a lot of unanimous decisions, which some people speculated, myself included, were possibly sending a message that to the Democrats that you don't need to pack the court, guys.
Yeah, the Roberts Court likes to send messages, and I think you're exactly right. Some of the mixed ideological bag in terms of who was voting for what, who was in the majority, who was in the dissent, as well as, like you said, those unanimous decisions, that was absolutely telling the Senate and the president and you know anybody that would think of packing the court with additional justices, we're going to continue to be the adults in the room here in our federal government. So that was just kind of, I think that was kind of like for them laying the gauntlet down.
So the article kind of spends several paragraphs basically doing a much longer version of what we just did, you know, mm-hmm. explaining some of the different cases and some of the way the votes broke out and others. But then they go, if the 2020 term ends up standing for anything beyond the decimation of voting rights.
Hell yeah.
an undermining of campaign finance disclosure protections.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
The four justices, that four justices were at least tempted to get involved in fights about mail ballots, vote fraud, and the power of the courts to interfere in elections is chilling. Yes. That a majority of the court's six conservatives decided to stay away from Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell's claims about stolen ballots and hacked machinery in November doesn't mitigate the fact that they were all in for the Republican Party's efforts to stymie minority voting based on the lie of vote fraud in June. Is that a fair way, Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, to describe the what happened in this case, that all the conservatives and the Republican Party all got together and ignore all of these other votes and ignore all of these other cases that show you that there's pretty broad ideological diversity on the court, even amongst the Trump appointees, right? Forget all of that. Right. They voted the wrong way on this case. So clearly the only reason they're on the court is to make sure that minorities don't vote.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that last fall, last winter after the election and all of these emergency petitions were being filed with the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did not overturn the presidential election in favor of Donald Trump. On the grounds of we don't interfere in states conducting their elections, right?
Right.
Well, when they come out with a decision now in July, it was July of 2021,
which is
not even a year later,
consistent with the earlier decision
that says the federal government should not interfere with states conducting, you know, running their own elections and passing their own election laws, how suddenly now they're evil incarnate. Right. So it's typical of the other side that when it doesn't go there, when it goes their way, they are just wonderful to deal with. And when it doesn't go their way, they become completely unhinged.
I love that the article describes John Roberts as a conservative. okay.
The Brnovich versus DNC decision, the 6-3 decision, according to this article. I love this article. It's so apocalyptic. You know, everything is just so catastrophic.
Send that over to me.
I will. It's out of Slate. Just big surprise. The decision mangles what remains of the Voting Rights Act beyond all recognition, Jeff. It mangles the Voting Rights Act beyond all recognition.
Yeah.
Why? Because it bans ballot harvesting?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the big thing, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you don't have partisan workers going door to door collecting ballots. They might have a few, you know, you didn't get a ballot here. We'll give you one. We'll tell you who to vote for. Just fill this out. We'll take it with us. If you're trying to have safe, secure elections, the last thing you'd want is a bunch of political hacks running around collecting ballots for people.
Yeah, and that's what we have. I mean, that's what ballot harvesting basically is.
Yeah.
You know, and at its worst, at its most insidious, it's going to places like nursing home facilities, long-term care facilities, group homes, mm-hmm. low-income minority housing, yes. immigrant communities mm-hmm. that possibly aren't really even involved in elections and don't pay that much attention. It's going to those areas, and we're just here to help get out the vote. It's just a GOTV operation. That's all. It's just get out the vote. That's all we're doing with Zuckerberg's money. And then mm-hmm. they go, and they basically collect all the ballots and they fill them out and they turn them in, and you end up with thousands and thousands, possibly tens of thousands of votes that are by definition being legally cast,
right?
Even though the person on whose name is on that ballot may have never even seen it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, you know, when Donald Trump wants to say the election was stolen or fraud, he doesn't choose his words carefully. If he just declared shenanigans, I think he'd be on some more solid ground, because a bunch of ballots were mailed out, and then they were, and then in certain states they were allowed. You could have campaign workers going
right
to different facilities, like you suggested, and collecting them.
And that's, where the claim of election fraud, the ghost was given up a little bit early on, because if you would have attacked that in a narrow fashion, the fact that some of our election laws, that not even laws, but this was the Attorney General suing the Secretary of State and them coming to some kind of resolution about how we're going to run our elections in Minnesota.
It was the old, what was it? Remember back in the days of the NFL when was it Michael Strahan set the sack record by Brett Favre just falling over, the Hulk Hogan match where he just pushed a finger on the guy and he fell over.
The finger poke of
that was the equivalent of those lawsuits by, you know, more liberal activist group against secretaries of state in blue states. Mm. And you know what? You're right. We'll settle.
Oh, gosh.
Let's get these consent degrees in place, you know?
Yeah, and that was the main issue. It was like, we have run an entire election without legislature invention or even consent in some cases.
Right.
In Minnesota, it sounds like that's how it might be from now on.
Yeah.
Just... it's incredible.
What does this ruling do for? Because I want to see ballot harvesting banned.
Yes.
That chain of custody should never leave the voter. Then you put it in the machine, or you hand it to the poll worker. Yep. That's it. Those are the only two people that should ever have the chain of custody of your ballot. And I think I am of the opinion that ballot harvesting is voter fraud.
Well, I think if you look at it in the context of some of these states enacting more stringent election security laws, the Supreme Court decision, I think, gives the green light to continue those efforts. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing, I think, the humorous part I thought was you've got Merrick Garland, you know, the famous scorned Supreme Court nominee who's now the Attorney General, brings this lawsuit in Georgia, and lo and behold, it's what? The Supreme Court, the body that, you know, the body that he was supposed to be on, smacking him down and basically yanking the rug out from under him.
You think that keeps him up at night?
Huh?
You think that keeps him up?
It might.
I hope it does.
I hope so too.
I kind of hope it does.
He kind of looks lost in his current position.
Hey, every time he opens his mouth, I sigh with relief that he didn't get on that court.
Oh, me too. Me too. And don't take this as any way of being like, man, you should have got on the court. Like, there was a time when I felt a little sorry for Merrick Garland because I felt like he was kind of caught in the middle, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Through no fault of his own, he found himself here in this fight between Obama and McConnell, and and he kind of got caught in this limbo. And there was a little part of me.
And then you got to hear what's in his head.
Yeah, and then I actually got to know Merrick Garland. I'm like, you suck.
Dodge that bullet.
Yeah, I don't want you within 10 miles of the Supreme Court.
So I think that effectively kills this decision. Effectively kills off the Georgia lawsuit that they were trying to interfere with Georgia, with their election reform measures, which still didn't make their election laws as stringent as New York's and Delaware's.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, they still have, days, early voting, you still have a lot of these things. You know, it used to be, I can remember back in the day when, you know, back in my day where you had election day. And you showed up at the polls and voted.
That was when you voted.
Yes, unless you were out of the country.
Right.
And you needed an absentee ballot.
Right.
And you had to show cause. You actually showed up and voted.
Go to a polling location and vote in person.
Right.
On election day.
And I didn't get handed a slice of pizza or anything by anyone when I was in the line, or a bottle of water.
And for some reason now, just that concept is too burdensome for some people.
Apparently.
You want to make people show up and vote in person on election day?
Yes.
Voter suppression.
Yeah.
No, come on. There is no voter suppression. I mean, it's not hard to access a ballot. It's not hard to get your vote cast. We have states that have, 3 weeks, several weeks of early voting, you know, available. You can show up at any time. I mean,
our elections start 2 months in advance.
And this idea that if you're not allowed to bring water to somebody in line, you're suddenly you're suppressing their vote. If you know you're going to be in line for a few hours, what's stopping you from bringing your own water?
I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you know that you live in a district that has lines and there might be a very long line to vote, what's stopping you from bringing a snack? Are you really telling me that if somebody doesn't show up and hand you a bottle of water, that you are incapable of voting?
And my understanding was that you could still bring snacks. It just couldn't be a political activist doing it.
Yes, you are allowed to give water to people in line, and you're allowed to give snacks to people in line. It just can't come from a campaign.
You just can't slap a campaign sticker around the bottle and handle it to them.
It just can't be partisan. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Jim Crow. Hold on. We're Jim Crow in here, apparently.
Hello, Mr. Voter. I have a water bottle with Joe Biden's face on a sample ballot.
All right, let's take a quick break. We got more to cover on this, and I do want to get into, since the Georgia voting lawsuit came up. I got a great article from the Federalist, why the DOJ lawsuit against Georgia's voting rules is hot garbage.